Welcome to the Word, to the Uttermost, a ministry of First Emmanuel Baptist Church located in Chesapeake, Virginia. This message is presented by Bible teacher and servant of Christ, Dr. Walter Yoho.
I would like to begin a series of messages entitled Tremendous Truths About Trials, or we could entitle it Transforming Truths About Trials. We were riding along in the mountains of Virginia and West Virginia, and my son had a joke book. And as we were whiling away the time, my son Walter asked me, "Dad, what did one math workbook say to the other math workbook?" And I said, "I don't know. What did the one math workbook say to the other math workbook?" And the one math workbook said to the other math workbook, "I don't have anything but problems." Well, we all have problems. It has been said that the fellow or gal whose problems are all behind him or her is probably a school bus driver. We all have problems. There was a sign in front of a church in Denver, Colorado years ago, which read, "If you have problems, come in and tell us about them. If you don't have any, come in anyway and tell us how you do it." There was this dear senior saint at a church in Virginia Beach years ago. She's with the Lord in heaven now. Her name is Dolores. And this dear senior saint would say, and she was always cheerful and positive, but she would say, "I'm cheerful and positive, but it's not because I don't have problems." She says, "I've had plenty of problems and heartaches over the years." And she said, "I could write a book about my problems. And I'm sure it would be a bestseller," she would say. One thing we all have in common is problems. We all have problems. Job's friend Eliphaz said, "Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." Job 5:7. And Job said in Job 14:1, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." D.M. Hardison always used to love to say, "Have you ever met anyone who didn't have a mother?" He said, "Neither have I." And if you have a mother, you've got troubles. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles. We all have problems, pressures and problems. The question is, what are you and I to do about all of our problems and all of our troubles and trials and tribulations and temptations? The New Testament has a novel approach. It tells us that what we should do is rejoice. Rejoice. James 1:2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." You see, a Christian is a bird that can sing in the winter as well as in the spring. Now, there is only one way to respond when others react, to do right when others do wrong, to rejoice when others cannot see how you can possibly rejoice, and that is to learn some tremendous truths about trials. And I want to share some of these tremendous truths with you about trials from the Word of God and Christian experience in this series of messages. And the first tremendous truth about trials, or if you please, the first transforming truth about trials, is we are always going to have plenty of problems. The important thing is how we handle them. If God hands you a lemon, make lemonade. It has been said that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Now, when I was a Christian teen, I had the strange notion that I don't like a lot of work, I don't like a lot of problems. I don't like a lot of challenges. So what I will do is if I have a homework assignment or a particular problem I've got to deal with, I'll work hard to get it done or get it out of the way. So then I won't have any more problems or challenges, and there'll be clear blue sailing ahead. And so I would work ahead on my homework. I'd try to get this done. I'd try to solve that problem, because then I would feel I could be problem-free, more or less. But the longer I worked at it, the more I realized that when I was trying to solve this problem, another one popped up. And as I was trying to solve that problem, two more popped up. And as I was working on a solution to this difficulty, two more difficulties came out of the solution. And finally, it started to dawn on me that I'm never going to get to the place in life where I'll be problem-free. Not at all. And the important thing is not so much how many problems I have or don't have, though it's nice to have fewer. But the important thing is what I do with the problems I have, with God's help, how I handle them. It's not the water outside the boat that troubles me so much, it's the water inside the boat. And the important thing is not so much how many problems I have, but how I handle them. And then I realized that that's exactly what the Bible said. In Psalm 34:19a, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And so if I have a lot of afflictions and difficulties, I'm in good company. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But I also love the second part of that verse, which says, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. A pastor was walking around town one day, and he bumped into one of his church members. And he said, Jim, how's it going? And Jim basically gave him a litany of things that were going wrong. He said, Pastor, this has gone wrong, and that's gone wrong, and I couldn't believe it, then this didn't work out. And he concluded by saying, Pastor, it's enough to make a man lose his religion. But the pastor smiled at him and said, Jim, it sounds to me like it's enough to make a man use his religion. In James 1, we read, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. But you say, Brother Yoho, my problems are impossible. Well, I read over in Job 9:8 that God alone stretcheth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. God alone. In fact, the Egyptian hieroglyphic for impossibility was a man walking on the waves. And so what was Jesus saying to those seafaring disciples when the waves were pounding the ship and coming in and threatened to bury them in a watery deep? What was he saying to them when he came to them walking on the waves? He was saying, the waves that are over your head are under my feet. The biggest problems you can possibly face in life, I have already mastered them. And I bid you come and partake of my mastery. Peter, come, walk on the water. Isn't it wonderful to know today that the waves that are over your head are under his feet? Jesus put it like this in the last verse of John chapter 16. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so one tremendous truth about trials is we are always going to have plenty of problems. The important thing is how we handle them. Another tremendous truth about trials is we have too many problems. That's good news. We have more problems than God wants us to have. We bring a whole lot of trouble into our life that the Lord wants to keep out of our life. by doing spiritually stupid stuff. We have a lot more problems than God wants us to have. And if we would learn to do things His way, we would have a lot less problems than we have. One of the ways we bring more problems into our lives is by worrying instead of praying. I heard of a man riding on the New York subway who was troubled. And a Christian gentleman noticed him and walked over and struck up a conversation with him. And they talked for a few minutes, and the Christian gentleman won the man's confidence. And so he started to open up to the Christian. And he said, "You know, I sure hate the thought of going home today. I've been out of work for several months, and I sure hate the thought of going home today and telling my wife I still haven't found anything." And the Christian gentleman said, "Have you tried prayer?" And the man said, "Oh, it hasn't gotten that bad yet." Oh, my friends, prayer is not only a last resort. It should be our first resource. Paul said in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Why go to pieces when you can go to God for peace? When our Lord was here upon the earth, He made out, as it were, His last will and testament. His soul He commended to the Father. His body He committed to Joseph of Arimathea to be decently buried. His clothes He gave to the soldiers. His precious mother He committed to the care of John. But what should He give to His dear disciples who had left all to follow Him? Silver and gold had He none, but He gave unto them and unto us that which is infinitely better, His peace, saying in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." There's only one place in the Hebrew Old Testament where the Hebrew word peace, shalom, is used back to back. Shalom, shalom, for emphasis. And that place is in Isaiah 26:3-4. Our King James beautifully translates shalom, shalom, perfect peace. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." May we pray. Prince of Peace, please grant those in our listening audience your perfect peace. Come into their hearts and save them as they would repent of their sins and put their faith in you as their personal Lord and Savior. Amen.
This has been a presentation by Dr. Walter Yoho. For further information, comments, prayers, and material, please contact missions300ministry@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and God bless.